for us and all who agree and want to receive from it, a year of crowning achievements and surpassing victory. We thank God for everything he's done and everything he's doing. We thank him for this special year that we have entered into. Many people will tell you, if you look at the number 8, it's the number of new beginnings. So everybody gets a new start. And there's nothing like coming into something new. It's fresh. And it's like whether it's a new start, it's just like a new birth. You know, there have been children that have been birthed this year. I was doubly blessed that all in the same month. So I got the former and the latter rain all in the same month. My nephew and spiritual son in the faith and his lovely wife, Sister Shantavia, God put it in their hearts to name their first son after me. So there's a Henry Aaron Killings the second, and that's a great honor, and I'm so glad. That was March 1st, and then on March 20th, our daughter Ariel, she hasn't broken the barriers yet, but her firstborn daughter is here with us today, Nevaeh. God put it in their hearts. I say God because, that's just, we live in God. We believe things that happen aren't just coincidence or just by chance or that L word, if you will, with the UCK behind it. No, we're not lucky, and it's not luck. It's blessed, hallelujah, by God, ordained and sanctioned by him. So to qualify that. But the Lord put it on their hearts to give their son a portion of my name, a great portion. Enrique Aaron. I call him Enrique, but his name is Makai. And so they call him Makai, but I call him Enrique. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. I call that forth out of him in Jesus' name. It's the godly lineage that I'm calling for. Amen. That he comes into his calling and purpose in life. But they named him Makai Enrique Aaron. I almost said the wrong name. Lopez. And so that was a great honor. He was born March the 20th. So former and latter rain all in that same month. And that was tremendously blessed. That's the third one that I'm aware of that has a part of my name. The Pattons, Minister Daniel and Sister Diana Patton, for their third child, Joseph. His middle name is Henry. I didn't find out that his name would be Henry until I got to the hospital to see after he was born, and they told me what his name was, and that was a tremendous honor as well. And so I feel tremendously blessed in that, and it's just been a great year, and I only share those things with you, not to brag and boast on me or Pastor Lucia, but to share with you, to stir up your faith, that you'll believe God and you'll hold fast and hold dear to what God is saying in the house. There have been some profound words that have been spoken, and it's not necessarily coming from Pastor Lucia or myself, but just some of the others that have given words that are like, man, it's, whoo, praise God, that's a good word. I received that for myself as well as for the body. Because Dad wants to do things, and he wants to do things now. As a matter of fact, he is doing things now, if you can believe it. And so with that being shared, Isaiah chapter 54 is something. I wish I had did something else, but I didn't do it. And that was to bring something before you, because it just bears witness to what God is not only saying, but what he's doing. So I'll get to that probably Wednesday or Sunday, and you have to come back. Amen, in order to know about it. Praise God. But God is doing some awesome, amazing things, and you need to, you know, have your ears open, your you know, antennas up, and just be receiving what God is releasing in the house, because it's for your good and it's for God's glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody that's been in a rut, get ready. The wheels are not just going to be spinning, digging a deeper hole. You're about to get some traction. Hallelujah. About to get some traction. You're about to come out of that thing and move forward in the things of God. So we have Isaiah chapter 54. And anybody know, anybody good at math? What's 3 times 18? Oh, Brother Finn. Brother Finn's good in numbers. Hallelujah. I was going to say you should have been a banker, but I think you do have some banking experience. Yeah. 54. And so triple. Just say triple. Hallelujah. God's not about to triple your problems. He's about to triple the solutions and triple the promises and triple the manifestations of what he's promised you before. You're about to see. Double is good, but if triple is possible, let's go for the triple. Amen? Hallelujah. 30 and 60 are good, but if there's a 90, we might as well go for it. Amen? It's not just sitting there just for the sake of just existing. It's like, who's willing to go for it? Hallelujah. It may require something out of us, but we already have the very essence of what is necessary in order to see things come to pass. It's what the Father gave to us when we first believed in Christ Jesus, and that is he dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. I like to say it that way. It's written that way in King James, but it's the measure of faith, not a measure, because if we just go by a measure, then that could mean that Carlitos gets one measure, Sister Tiana gets another measure. What was your name again, brother? Robert. And who's over here next to you? Stephanie. And who's in the middle? Nehemiah. Oh, the builder. Hello. We're about to build something around here. Bless God. Come on. His name prophesies something. Hallelujah. And so we have Stephanie, Nehemiah, and Robert. Did he say Robert? Okay, good. It's like, huh. Yeah. And so, you know, like they get a measure and they get a measure and everybody gets a measure and it's like it could be a different measure. It could be a huge measure. And you see things happening in somebody's life and oh, wow, they have great faith. And oh, I have no faith or little faith. And it's like, no, you got the measure of faith, which is necessary and required for you to live by. That's how good God is. He gives us what is required according to the kingdom. We are in this world, but not of this world. Prior to coming to Jesus, we were of this world. We were of our earthly parents. We're living in a secular society, living, you know, any old kind of way that we live. But when we came into Jesus, we came into the kingdom of God. And just like the world has its way of operation, and it's governed by the prince of darkness, the kingdom has its method and mode of operation, and it is governed by God Almighty. So God's principles work best in his kingdom. Some people take God's principles and use it to be effective in this worldly, secular society, if you will. But it's best when it's operating in the kingdom according to kingdom principles. Amen? So with that being said, it's like Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. So what God did was he gave us the measure of faith. Why? Because the just shall live, first of all. Hallelujah. We have to let that settle, because we can write right on into the next part of that passage, but we have to let that settle. The just shall live. In every given situation, wherever life may find you, the just shall live. You are not a victim. You are now a victor. You're no longer a subject to society, if you will. You're now an heir of God and a joint heir with King Jesus. You have eternity in your heart. You have eternal life. You're going to live, and you're going to live through every situation and circumstance that comes your way. Now, how you live is your choice, but you're going to live. As a matter of fact, when this body wears itself to the point of death, you're still going to live. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said it when he was talking to Martha and Mary. He said it when he was talking about raising Lazarus from the dead. He that believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So when this body goes back to the earth, that's not the end of us. Now, for the ungodly, for the person that does not have Jesus Christ, not only is it the end of their life here, but now they spend eternity in torment. And I don't know about you, but even in the situations that life, you know, brings our way, some of the things are so difficult that you just wouldn't want anybody to have to go through what you went through. You know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Anybody ever said that? Maybe you haven't, but somebody might have said it. You probably heard it before. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. All of the stuff that I went through or all of the stuff that they went through, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Some of the stuff is just so unbearable that some people just give up. They check out, if you will. But the thing of it is in Christ Jesus, you will live through the thing. And you shall overcome the thing. And whatever it took away, you shall recover for the glory of God. Those are just intertwined in the promises of God. Yes, he spoke some things directly to his servants in the situation that they were in, but they're in the same place you and I are in. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he can do for another. Now, mind you, you may not go out into a valley and with a sling with five smooth stones in your pocket or purse or whatever you carry and then see a giant out there that's like 9 feet tall and then, you know, you just one throw and boom. You may not have a situation like that, but you have some similarities. You have some overcoming, surpassing victories that it's just like being in that valley with the giant and you took that giant down with one of faith, and next thing you know, what was a problem is now dead, and you're about to chop its head off so it won't come back again. Amen? So, in the kingdom of God, there is a way to live. And the Bible says that the just, those who are declared righteous, those who are in right standing with God, they shall live, comma, and they shall live by faith. So faith is the currency of the kingdom. It is what each and every believer has received in order to live the life that God calls and requires us to live. Now, there is the gift of faith that goes beyond just that faith to live by. That gift can move mountains. That gift can cause things that be not as, call things that be not as though they are. That gift is distributed severally as the Holy Ghost will, along with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, gifts of healings, workers of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretations. Those gifts are still alive and active. Well, how do you know that? Because the church is still in the earth. The gifts were given to the church for the edifying of the body. It's not given to make us, you know, to have us make a name for ourselves. It's given to us to glorify God, to edify and build up his church, not only numerically, which is key, but also spiritually, that believers can come and they can impart to one another and they can strengthen and edify each other. The writer in Hebrews said it, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10, that we are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves as some have done. But as we see the day of the Lord approaching, we ought to more earnestly, this is me just paraphrasing it, more earnestly come together. Why? Because we need each other. I know, we don't think that we need each other, but we do. You know, how in the world are you going to express love for mankind by just being by yourself? It's easy to love yourself, praise God. You know, because you put up with yourself. You put up with your failures, faults, weaknesses, and things like that. And some people can't have that. That's why they bail out. They try to anyways. Some fail. Praise God, I'm glad they failed. Because the minute you bail out like that through suicide, you end the plan and purpose of God concerning you. And just because you hit a crisis doesn't mean life is over for you. That crisis is going to turn around for your good. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that's operating in the kingdom. It's like, man, I don't like this. It hurts. It's been a long time. It's been difficult. Just start thanking God. Lord, I thank you that you sustained me up to this point. Because this thing still has to work out for my good. This is your word. It happened with Joseph. Paul spoke it in the new covenant. So it's not just an old covenant thing. The word of God is for now. You cause all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. Those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. Everything works together for your good. But see, the adversary would want you to think that it'll never change, it'll never work, it's just going to be this way, this is my lot in life, this is how I'm going to live forever, and woe is me. And it's like, no, you better turn that sorrow into dancing. Amen. You better try and start praising God and thanking him right in the midst of that and say, no, this thing is going to turn around. And when it does, praise God. Hallelujah. What was trying to take my joy and my peace, oh, got to give it back, and it's going to be even stronger and better because God's bringing me through. This is kingdom living. You've got the measure of faith. You got the measure. Okay. So everybody got a dollar bill. If you got a dollar bill, take it out of your pocket, purse, wallet, what have you. If you don't have a dollar bill, raise your hand. Okay, we got two people with their hands raised. Three, four, five. Okay. I just gave you one. I'm trying to make an example. I'm just trying to do an illustration. Okay, I got two to spare so that I can participate too. Anybody else got some extra ones? And, you know, if anybody, if they walk away with it, Brother Finn, you know, okay, who raised hands? There you go. There you go. Who else? Anybody that wants to participate? Hallelujah. Sister, did you get one? Okay. Brother Oliver's ready. Everybody, who else? Did your hand go up? Okay. That's true. You don't know what he's going to do. And the people in the back, they have dollars. Okay. Well, for those who actively want to participate, you got the measure of faith. Okay? That's what it represents. You got the measure of faith. This is what God gives you to live in the kingdom. This is just a physical, he gives us, you know, God blesses us. There's no limitations to him. But it's like, and the thing of it is the reason I had you bring it out so that you can see it's in your possession. It's with you, and you have to work it. If all I do is put it in my pocket and keep it because I don't want to lose it, you know, this thing increases through reason of use. This is like the starting point for us in the kingdom of God. This is what God gives us to live by and to live with. The just shall live, and they shall live by faith. That's the way the scripture is written. You're going to live. You're going to make it. You're going to overcome this thing. You're going to be victorious. You already are victorious. You might as well shout now. You don't have to wait for the battle to be over. You can just shout and give God praise right now in advance. Hallelujah. Exercise some of your faith. This thing might increase to more. Hallelujah. Because, see, I operated at that one level of degree of faith, and now it's converted to a higher level because I saw God do that. Man, if he did that, he'll do this. And if he does this, he'll do that. And instead of the faith diminishing through reason of use, it increases. And so it goes from there. And, you know, it could take leaps and bounds. It can hit here. Amen. Simply by working with this. That's the faith that God gave us to live by. And sometimes people don't want to exercise it for whatever reason. Either they don't believe, and so it's like, I don't have anything. God didn't give me anything. I was just, you know, I was at the back of the line, and by the time I got there, God was all out. He don't run out. This is how God is. The more you take from him, the more gets generated. This is what we see in the miracles of the five loaves and the few fishes, if you will, and then of the, what was it, seven loaves, if you will. This is, it's the more you take, the more that comes up. This is why the fish, it was able to feed the multitudes. And listen, at one time it was 4,000, the other time it was 5,000. Jesus could have fed 10 million people with just those five loaves and two fishes if they were there. You cannot deplete God's supply. And so it's not our earthly currency, if you will, that God needs in order to do things. But he does things through this. so that we will not trust in this, but we will trust in God. I think it's on this one. In God we trust. Let's see. It's even on the 100. In God we trust. It's on a currency that speaks of the nation. That speaks of the early founders, if you will. That speaks of those who, even from them forward, still had God at the forefront of their minds, their hearts, and their lives. The song, God Bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. They weren't talking about, I'll use Minister Patton's words, they weren't talking about Buddha. They weren't talking about Krishna or any other god. They were talking about the one true and living God. God bless America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what the Bible says about our God. That's what the psalmist said. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So we're blessed. God gives us, and if nobody wanted their dollars back, you can keep those. Just don't ask for this other one that I have up here. So you got the measure of faith, but you have to use it. And the thing of it is that it does not get depleted by reason of use. It increases. It gets stronger. And you start off small. Jesus said, if you just have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Because the disciple was like, oh, we need more faith. You know, you're telling us to forgive people for, you know, their sins 70 times 7. Oh, we need more faith for that. Praise God. Not in one day. But anyways, the disciples were like, we need more. And Jesus is like, no, if you just have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from over here to over there, you know, and it'll do so. So the thing of it is it's like, it's not so much more faith. We need to exercise the faith that we have, and we need to do it on a daily basis. I promise you, you won't run out. You may face obstacles, you may face opposition, but this is what you're called and required to live by. So the day you give up exercising your faith, that's the true day of defeat. The day you stop believing and trusting God, that's the day you suffer ultimate defeat, because God can't do anything for you. Well, God can do all things, but he's not going to violate your will. And he's moved by your faith. And he gives you the faith in order to move him in your situation. Amen? Okay, I got all the 3 minutes. That was just the foundation. That was just the opening. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren. Thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now, in the passage, God, he uses the condition and state and all that the children of Israel have been through in their captivity, particularly the Babylonian captivity. He uses the analogy of a woman who is barren. So that brings about shame and humiliation, because I can't say every woman, but I can say the majority of women, when they come of age, even as they are growing up, they learn about family. You know, they start playing with dolls, if you will. They start playing with Barbie dolls and Kens and stuff like that. And it's like it's preparing them one day for family. Guys, boys are raised up with Tonka toy trucks and things like that and go-karts. And anybody ever, I'm dating myself, but I don't mind. Especially in the poor communities of which I grew up in, we couldn't afford like skateboards, but what we did have was old roller skates, and you take the wheels off of the roller skates and you nail them to the bottom of a 2x4, and then you take one of those fruit carts that they bring fruit to the fruit market with, and then you nail that on top of the board, and then you, that was your skateboard, if you will. That was your, you know, I forget what we called it back in the day. But that was one of those things. And so, how did I get there? I don't know. Praise God. But it was a good point that was coming. But anyways, you worked with what you had, if you will. You played around with it and you enjoyed it. Some people had the money, so they were able to do greater things. Well, if, I'm coming back to the scripture, if a woman was barren, she bore the shame of the community. Because, again, that's where it was at. Coming to age, she's prepared to, that's how it was. It was the Tonka toy trucks and the stuff that boys did. She comes to age and many women, they want to have a child. They want to raise a family, if you will. It's just a desire. And to not be able to do that, especially in biblical days, because now, you know, it's not so much that it's the feminist movement and all, but some don't want family. And, you know, that's okay. That's their choice. That's their prerogative if they don't want to have children. But some desperately want children. And this is a case that's described here. A woman who wants to have children, but she has, one, no husband, and two, she doesn't have, you know, but she desires that. Either the husband has forsaken and abandoned her, which is like double shame and humiliation, or she just doesn't have one. But she has that desire in her to have children and to have a family. And so the children of Israel and their plight, God likens it to a woman who is embarrassed. She hasn't had any children. She wants them, but she can't have them. And so it was that way with Sarah. It was that way with Hannah. It was that way with Elizabeth as well. Women who wanted to have children to give birth to their husbands, a son, and they didn't have them, but God moved on their behalf. And so with the children of Israel dealing with their plight and all, here it's like they've come out, but they're still in a state of distress. And the Lord tells in the distress, isn't this God? See, God not only will make powerful promises to us in the midst of a strait, when things are not going well. The children of Israel were still enslaved in Egyptian captivity, and God spoke and raised up Moses. He heard their cries and their groanings. The scripture plainly says, God said, let us go down to see what's going on with the people. And so he does. He comes down there and he sees and he raises up Moses to be the deliverer for them. And the very word that God spoke to Abraham some 430 years earlier, that word is now coming to pass. It's being fulfilled in that generation. But God will speak a word to you, and it seems like a dry season, like no way, no how is this going to work. And it's in a desperate, but he gives us that word of life. And he says here, he says, break forth into singing. Now, he knows the state and condition. He knows how they're feeling. But he says, break forth. He bust out. Turn loose into singing. Lord, you don't know how I feel. Don't matter. Guess what you got? The measure of faith. Faith does not monitor itself by feelings. It monitors itself by the authority power of God's word revealed to it. The just shall live by faith. And so it's that word that God speaks even in a dry season. God can tell you the wells are about to you know, spill over, if you will. There's water coming. The rivers are coming your way. Showers of blessings are coming your way in a dry and thirsty land, in a drought. God makes these promises. And so he says, he doesn't even stop there. He says, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. God's saying, I'm about to do something big on your behalf. Hallelujah. And we can't allow ourselves to be so oppressed, depressed, discouraged by life circumstances and situations because it seems like it's just been too long. It's just, it's like it's not going to happen. We can't get so caught up into that that we can no longer receive the lively ordinances of God, which are able to turn the situation around. It's the very debar of God that he spoke in the beginning. Let there be. And it was. So God tells them, start singing. Stop moaning. Stop groaning. It's time to sing now. Hallelujah. I like this verse, verse 2, and then I have to stop. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. In other words, God's saying, make room. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. In other words, once you get it stretched out to the limitations of it, nail it down good. Because if you don't, what I'm about to send is going to root everything up. And so God is telling them this in the midst of their plight, if you will. And it's a good word, and it's a word that's not only for them, but it's a word for us. Prophesy to your situation. Start singing praise. Start singing about the goodness of God. Start singing about his faithfulness. Start singing about his promises, if you will. Rehearse them over and over. Why? Because things are about to change. They are about to change. This year, 2018, is what? Crowning achievements and surpassing victories. I hesitated as whether I was going to share it with you today or not, but I'll share this in closing. Now, Pastor Lucia and I, some things we keep private, some things we allow to come forth. But in this situation, I believe it's so key to what God gave us to release over this year, crowning achievements and surpassing victories, that it would stir you up to believe for you and your household. This year, crowning achievements, surpassing victories. That was declared late December, coming into 2018. That came from just the beginning of 2018 is crowning. And then the Lord is like having me focus on the word crowning. And then another word gets added to it, achievements. And then defining what crowning achievements are, and then going into surpassing victories. And so I held fast to it and continued to speak it and speak it by faith. Unbeknownst to me, because God is he's a wonderful God. He's a good God. He's concerned with the things that concern us. Coming into this year, I didn't know when, but I believed God that we would be able to buy a place in this land. And wouldn't you know that God, of the places we looked at, none of them caught our attention for agreement except this particular one. It was the last one that we looked at, and it was the one that we both said, we don't need to look any further. Now, it's nice in and of itself, but where it's at, the address is what speaks, and it's something that God knew all along. He knew it back in December. We didn't know it. He knew it all of January. We didn't know it. He knew it all of February. We didn't find out anything till like the tail end. And I kid you not, when I first saw what was advertised, I'm like, who would want to go look at something like that? because the picture was very deceiving. But the address of the place, not that you would drive by, 4500 Triple Crown Court. You ought to give God praise for that one. You ought to praise God for that one. You're talking about speaking. It wasn't in our hearts and minds, but it was on God's mind. And then looking at Triple Crown and what it represents. It represents the highest achievement a thoroughbred can attain. A thoroughbred is not only a racehorse, but it's someone who's pure. God's not just speaking that to us. He's speaking it over the house. It comes here and it gets disseminated there to run with. Do you have the faith? Do you believe in what's being spoken? Because if you do, you're going to receive. It's not about material goods, but it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that the ungodly will only recognize. Now, we can choose to live our lives the way we want to, or we can choose to live our lives according to kingdom principles. If we choose to live our lives according to kingdom principles, you are only going to go up. Even in the midst of turbulence, trouble, frustrations, anxieties, worries, problems, you're still going to go up. There is no downside in the kingdom. You're only going up for the glory of God. And the higher you go in Him, not only the more you begin to reflect Him, the more that is required of you, the more you fall in love with Him, you see His goodness, His glory. And I pray that this would just stir your hearts, because as I speak these words, our lives are for the glory of God. Our kids are trying to make grandparents out of us, but I'm resisting that in Jesus' name, if you will. We don't hate our children. We don't hate our grandchildren. But they know kingdom is a priority to us. We love them dearly. But see, if they're not in the kingdom at the point of death, they're going one place, we're going another. So we try and live the life and the example, and we try and minister to them where they're at to get them where they ought to be. We call them out and call them into the things of God. But see, if they don't come in fully, and I'm not saying that to badmouth our kids because we love them dearly, and we know that they're coming. We got the word that they're coming. But if they didn't come, there would be a separation for eternity. And if we see things from Jesus' perspective, not earthly perspective, because earthly is only considered with earthly stuff. Kingdom is considered with heavenly things. And when you consider it from the heaven, from what God's word says, you know the urgency of the hour that we live in. And no one should take their life for granted. Give it to God and serve Him all the way. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If tomorrow we went on to be with the Lord, we'd be happy. Praise God. Never got a chance to live one day in the place. But we would still praise God. Because our last breath on earth would be our first praise in heaven for the glory of God. But again, triple now. My first seed, I wanted to share this and then I'll stop. My first seed for the year 2018 was $54. 54 is the product of 3 times 18. On the memo, I put triple. I was going to put something else, but then it was like, no, just triple. And God saw. What did He see? He saw faith. He saw, like, men taking their friend, and because they can't get into the room, they go up on the roof and rip the roof off and then lower their friend in so he can get healed. God saw from everything and said, look at what I'm doing for you. Because of everything, and the only reason I'm back in this area is because years ago, 1984, God revealed to me, I want you to come back to the area because I want people to see what I've done for you, I'm willing to do for them. And it's not like it's all, you know, been, praise God, which I hope people don't have to go through some of the stuff that I or we've had to go through in life in order to experience God's greatness and God's good. But in the midst of it all works together for the good and the glory of God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints, it's worth it. It's worth it. Living fully for God, holy, solely for God. It is worth it. He's not going to take away your husband. He's not going to take away your wife. He's not going to take away your kids. He's not going to, make your life miserable. He's going to make your life blessed. But you got to know him on the level he desires to be known. Otherwise, you become a victim of everything that goes on in the world instead of a victor rising high in the kingdom. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that the word that has been spoken up to this point has done something to incite faith, to ignite faith, for your sons and daughters to see that they are closer than when they first believed you for things, and that they see that what you have done for us and for others, you are not only well able, but you will do for them. Let them see and let them know that you see them when they write out that check. Let them see and let them know that you see them when they name their seed that they sow. Let them see, Master, that when a thing is declared, that thing shall come to pass. We only want them to see you, your goodness, and your favor, and that it not only applies here, but it applies all over for everyone that believes. We thank you for the measure of faith that you've given us to live by. And we pray, Master, that we honor you in faith. For your word declares that without it, it's impossible to please you. But he who comes to you must believe and believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you out. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll be glorified, your people will be edified, and all of our adversaries will be terrified. We pray, Master, that you'll bless your sons and daughters and keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. That your name will be over them and their household, that you may bless them, so that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you shall conquer and triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, you're the body of Christ, you're the sons and daughters of the Most High, and the Lord will be with you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, before we leave, if there's anybody in here who needs prayer, you can see me immediately following service. And for those who may be watching live stream, and anyone here who is not saved and desires to be saved, you can get saved. It's very simple. All it is a prayer from your heart. God doesn't make it difficult because he wants us all saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. But I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer, and if you repeat it and you repeat it from your heart, the Lord will only look at your heart and see the sincerity, and out of that, you'll be genuinely saved. If you're backslidden and strayed away from God, God will give you the opportunity to be reconciled to him once again. Never run away from him. Never leave him, because he won't leave you. And so repeat these words. And anyone in the congregation who needs to, you can. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And according to your word, and according to the faith that I have now, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'll serve you with all that I have and all that I am as you show me how. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you prayed it in order to recommit, rededicate your life, you are reconciled unto God. You are like a sheep that got out of the fold, and the Lord has rescued you and brought you back into the fold. Enjoy your life in Christ Jesus. It's the best life you could live. And we thank you and give God praise. Amen. All right. We love you. Have a blessed, wonderful, supernatural afternoon Sunday and a blessed week. And we will see you evening prayer at 6 o'clock for those of you who want to come out. We'll see you at the altar. Otherwise, we'll see some of you Wednesday. Amen.